No matter how evil things become, Timothy is commanded to continue in the things which he has learned in the Scripture. The doctrine of Scripture, or what is the Bible, that's what we have begun to study. And it is good to do so. And in some of my main series that I've preached, we've done this 3 or 4 times. Because this doctrine is the foundation of everything that we believe. To understand what Scripture is will direct us on a true course in our Christian life. The doctrine of Scripture will, if we understand it, what the Bible says about itself, will automatically put the Bible in authority over us. But if we are unsure, or if we are wrong as to what is the Bible, then we will not remain on the true course in our Christian life. It's impossible that we would. And if we're wrong in the doctrine of Scripture, what the Bible is, we will find then that the Scriptures do not guide us in our lives and our decisions, because they are not in authority over us. And we will find a tendency within ourselves, if we're wrong in this doctrine, to supplant Scripture with our own ideas, our own tastes, our own likes, and our own dislikes. Well, I know the Bible says that, but I like this. We've always done it this way. So the doctrine of Scripture is so important. All heresies come from a deficient or wrong view of the Scripture. That's their root cause. Now, last time I was here, remember I gave you 2 examples in men that I believe are still alive at the moment. Archbishop Harper of the Church of Ireland and Tony Campolo, so-called evangelical in America. Both men claim to be evangelicals. But these 2 men, while the subjects differ where they veer from what the Bible teaches, where they drift from Scripture on totally different subjects, their heresy is all the same cause. Both of them do not believe that the Bible, the whole Bible, is the Word of God. And that is why they go into heresy in various areas. That's why, therefore, both of them want to remove various bits of the Bible that they don't like, that isn't popular today. And on what basis do they want to remove these bits? How do they come to this conclusion? Human reason. Their own mind, they now put above revelation, reason above revelation, Lord Jones says, is absolute disaster. When you put your mind above Scripture in authority, reason above revelation, and they use their own mind to sift and judge the Bible and throw out certain bits according to what they like or what they don't like. But the error is their error on the doctrine of Scripture. What is the Bible? And we're studying this subject so that we will be kept safe in this area. And I think that this subject should be preached often in evangelical churches. Last time we studied, why study this doctrine? Tonight we're studying, what is the Scripture? Now let me answer that question straight away before I give you any points. So that we all know where we're going. It's good to know where you're going before you start, isn't it? The Scripture, the Bible, is God's inspired word. The Bible is inerrant. That means there are no errors in it. The Bible is infallible. That means on whatever subject the Bible teaches, it is right on that subject. The Bible is the Word of God. Now we need to get that into our minds and know it and believe it. If you don't do that, you're probably lost. The Bible is the Word of God. If you don't get that, you'll end up adding your own wee things to it, taking away certain bits, adding other wee bits in your own mind. The Bible is the Word of God. It is not the word of man. It is not the words of the Apostle Paul. It is not the words of Isaiah. The Bible reveals itself to us, as we will see, as the Word of God. Now, the second question in the shorter catechism, what rule has God given to direct us, how we may glorify him? The answer is, the Word of God as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify God. But that little word contained in the true sense, the Word of God as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament means it's all God's word, but God's direct revelation, the Word of God, is contained in there. There's no more direct revelation outside the Bible. It's contained in the Word. Whereas liberals in our day, for the last 50 or 60 years at least, have used that word contained in a totally different way. They say, oh yes, the Word of God is contained in the scriptures. And what they mean is, liberals like Archbishop Harper, what they mean is, the Word of God is mixed up in the Bible somewhere. There's some of it, the Word of God's in there. But it's also mixed up with culture and errors and human opinions and mistakes. And all these things need sifting out in a big sieve of human reason to find what is God's word in there somewhere. And using the word contained in that sense is wrong. The Word of God is not contained in the Bible in the liberal sense, but the word of God is the scripture. The scripture is the Word of God. Now, the scripture being the Word of God, I'm going to give you the evidence, obviously the passages when we start our points, but this is just an introduction and we want to get this into our mind. If the scripture is the word of God, therefore it is not wrong on Jesus or salvation. It's not wrong when it reports on the miracles. It's not wrong on the subject of immorality or judgment. It's not wrong on the subject of marriage, children, wisdom, or sin. If it's the Word of God, it's not wrong on anything that it speaks on, because it is the Word of God. And that's why no true Christian can really say, oh, but that's just the Apostle Paul's opinion on head covering or on women not teaching in the church or on sodomy being an unnatural sin. That's just the Apostle Paul's opinion. It's not the Apostle Paul's opinion. It's the Word of God. Not Paul. And no true Christian can get off with it and get off with all sorts of things by saying, oh, that's just Paul, or that's just John or Peter. Because immediately that person says that, they show that they do not believe that the whole Bible is the Word of God. And therefore, no matter whether they say they're saved or not, they are just exactly the same as the liberals who want to sort out God's word from Paul's opinion. There's no difference. They are liberals themselves. Anyone who says that. It's all a complete nonsense. The church of today needs to stop playing around with words. The Bible is the word of God. And you either believe that or you don't believe that. There's no cloudiness. There's no mist. There's no I'm not sure. You either believe that the Bible is God's word or you do not believe that. But if you don't believe that, you've got to stop calling yourself a believer. Because you're not a believer. You're in disagreement with Jesus and what he says about the Bible. You're in disagreement with thousands, and I mean thousands, of passages and verses in the Old Testament and the New. If you don't believe the Bible is God's word. That is what Christians believe. Muslims believe the Quran is God's word. Christians believe the Bible is God's word. Let me give you the first point of 2 points tonight. And they're simple points. What is the Bible? Point number one. It is God's inspired word. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The little word inspiration, all scripture is given by inspiration. That Greek word means it is divinely breathed. It is God-breathed. It means expiration, breathed out by God. To quote a theologian on this doctrine, B.B. Warfield says, breathed out by God on this verse, this word. What it affirms is that the scriptures owe their origin to an activity of God, the Holy Spirit, and they are, in the highest, truest sense, his creation. End of quote. God, the Holy Spirit, inspired these words. These are God's words. All scripture is given by the outbreathing. It's breathed out by God. Now, please note in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, that is written primarily about the Old Testament. Because most of the Christians, the New Testament, most of the New Testament hadn't even been compiled together and written yet. Or it was just current. This is written, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. That's written about the Old Testament. To New Testament believers. So it's no use Archbishop Harper saying, and I'm quoting him now in his wee article from a number of years ago, Paul's argument in Romans 1 on sodomy, that his arguments are, quote, intellectually limited because they are based upon Old Testament presuppositions, end of quote. What? 2 Timothy 3:16 is written about the Old Testament. The word presupposition means assumption. The Old Testament is not a presupposition or an assumption, I'd say to Archbishop Harper. It's the Old Testament that is God's inspired word. And if what Paul says in Romans 1 is based upon the Old Testament, it's what God says about it. Because it's based upon the Word of God. text says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not just some bits. As Archbishop Harbour calls some bits, the divine oracles are mixed up with by speeches. End of quote. No. All Scripture is breathed out by God. It all came out of God's mouth. The Bible's internal witness to itself is very clear. You believe it or you don't. Now listen to what Scripture says about itself. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. It's all inspired, and it's all useful in four ways. It's all profitable for the New Testament believer in four ways. Profitable for doctrine, true teaching. It's profitable for correcting us. It's profitable, for reproof, reproving us, then correcting us, and then instructing us in righteousness, how to live right. And that means the Old Testament is profitable for New Testament Christians in the area of doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So how dare anybody say, and I've heard it said before, but that's just in the Old Testament. Immediately they're showing they're an unbeliever. They don't believe what the Bible says about itself. Do you believe this part of the Bible? That all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. The witness of the Bible about itself. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Earlier in the chapter, Peter refers to being with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and seeing the majesty. But then he says that we, in verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy. There's something even more sure than him seeing Christ configured on the mountain. And you know what it is? Verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first in importance, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Old Testament prophets, when they spoke, it was not by their own will, or human will or human ideas. That's what private interpretation means. It doesn't mean private interpretation. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is what the Bible says about itself. The word moved, the Greek word for moved, is translated driven. And it's a word that is used in the ancient Greek language for a sailing ship that is being driven in a particular direction by a strong wind or a storm. Driven in that sense. And it's a present passive participle. The holy men of God were presently being driven by the Holy Spirit. But passive means it was something done to them. They did not do it. It was something done unto them. They were driven by the Holy Spirit. They were borne along. They were driven by the Holy Spirit. Holy men of old, holy men of God, speak as they were moved, as they were driven by the Holy Spirit. They were not driven by man's will. Now, do you believe that verse of Scripture? If you do, you believe in the inspiration of the Bible. That God intervened and breathed his words into the writers. They were driven, they were borne along by the Holy Spirit. In what they wrote, exactly, every word. Let me give you a few examples of this. I'm going to turn you to Jeremiah and chapter 1. You can turn if you want, or I'm going to read them. You can listen or turn to it. It's up to you. But it says in Jeremiah chapter 1, from verse 7 to 9. Let me read verse 6. Jeremiah the prophet. Then said I, Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. I'm too young. I can't speak your word. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord, or Jehovah. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words into thy mouth. Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 and 7. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered unto me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Verse 7. It says more about it, but let's go down to verse 7. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 4, 10, and 11. And he said unto me, Son of man, get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. Verse 10 and 11. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears, and go get thee to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Now, if you want more proofs than that, go to Louis Burkhoff's Summary of Christian Doctrine, pages 16 and 17. You'll find he gives 25 other references, and that's in his condensed version. Or read the book by John Blanchard. It's an old book, but it's still absolutely brilliant, called Know Your Bible. It'll furnish you with more proof than enough as to what the Bible is. What is Scripture? It is the inspired Word of God. Now, secondly, what is Scripture? I will say about Scripture that every word is God's inspired word. Now, we're not talking about inspiration, that the Bible is God's inspired word. We're talking about the actual extent of the inspiration. All of it. Every single word. This is known as verbal plenary inspiration. Plenary means all of it. Verbal means every word used. So all to the extent of every word. Verbal plenary inspiration. Give you some scriptural examples. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2, David says, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Not his thoughts were in my mind, and I put them into my own words. No, the Spirit of God spoke by me, and his word was in my tongue. 1 Kings 22:19, the prophet says, "Hear thou the word of the Lord." That's repeated many times. Whose word is it? The prophet's words? Hear the word of Jehovah. Jeremiah 1:9, we've already read it. "Behold, I have put my words into your mouth, Jeremiah." God does not say, "Jeremiah, I've put my thoughts into your mind. You put it into your own words." No, no. "My words in your mouth." Ezekiel 2:7. "And thou shalt speak my word to them." It says in the New Testament, in the little book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul writing to them says in Thessalonica, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The Thessalonians, through the Apostle Paul, had actually received the word of God, not the words of men. They had heard the words of God. And then many more references. I'm skipping because there's so many. Revelation 2, verses 7, 11, 17, and 29. Revelation 3, verses 6, 13, and 22. It says the same thing over and over. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." God the Spirit, who inspired the word. It wasn't the words of John the Apostle. "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says." What God says. It was God the Holy Spirit speaking to the church, not John. Scripture is the words of God. God does not say to the writers of the scripture, to the prophets or anybody else, "I'll put a few thoughts in your mind. You put it down in your own words." Never does God ever say that. But God repeatedly says, "I have put my words in your mouth." So the inspiration, the extent of it, goes to the very words used in the Hebrew and Greek language. The very words. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, when Jesus Christ is being questioned by religious people about the subject of divorce, note what Jesus says to them. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and I'm going to read verse 29 to 31. Matthew 22, 29 to 31. Oh, we're on page, Jimmy. Okay, here we go, 29. They asked Christ about divorce, and it was the Sadducees, the liberals, the unsaved liberals, asked this question. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Exodus 3, 6 and 16 and so on. That's where he's quoting from. Jesus says to these people that are wrong on the subject of divorce, have you not read that which God spoke to you? So don't tell me you're a follower of Jesus if you don't believe that the Old Testament is God speaking. Jesus says that the Old Testament scriptures that these Sadducees had read were actually God speaking to them. God spoke to you. The Lord Jesus also points out in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 27 and 44, that the scriptures are Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. That's the whole Old Testament. And then in John 10:35, Jesus says the scriptures cannot be broken. So that's my second point. Every word of God, every word in the Bible is God's inspired word. God speaks through the scripture because the scripture is the very words of God. In the Old Testament alone, the words, thus saith the Lord, or the word of God came, those words appear over 4,000 times. This is what the scripture says about itself. The words of God came, God's word. The scriptures are the word of God. I draw to a conclusion. We'll continue next time I'm here, which I think is at the end of the month, but I've given you 2 points in answer to the question, what is the Bible? Number one, it is God's inspired word. And number two, every word is God's inspired word. The Old Testament says so. The New Testament says so. And Jesus Christ says so. Therefore, is there any application? Yes. If this is God's word, these are God's words. Properly translated, they're God's words. And every word is God's inspired word. Therefore, not a word is wrong. God is never wrong. He's all-knowing. He is without error. He is perfect. You can trust this book. Now, this is God's inspired word. Second line of application would be, and this is what God wants from you. This is God's will for you. This is what he says. The Bible. Third line of application, flowing from that, if it's God's inspired word, the Bible, then Christians had better do what it says. And believe what it says. Not add to it. Another line of application. Now this is God's inspired word. It's obviously an authority over me. I'm not the authority coming to judge it. But if it's God's word, it is in authority over me. And if it's God's word, it's sufficient. Because God closed the Bible at the end of Revelation chapter 22. And there's a warning there. Don't add to it or take away from it. The Bible doesn't need added to. And the Bible certainly doesn't need people taking anything away from it. It is sufficient by itself. As the rule of faith and practice, both individually and corporately for churches, the Bible is the only rule of faith and practice. There is no other. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished, fully equipped unto all good works. All the equipment needed for the church to live and obey God, and for Christians to live and know God's will, is in the Bible. The Bible is sufficient. We are fully equipped when we know the Bible to all good works. There's nothing to add, and certainly nothing to take away. The Bible is sufficient. It does not need human additions. It does not need human supplements to aid what the Bible says about faith, church, worship. No. This is all we need to know right here. And we're not to add to it. And we're not to take away from it. We're not to add human tradition. We're not to add your taste or mine. We're not to add our opinions or our wee ideas. Because human ideas is just another word for tradition. That's what tradition means. The scriptures need no supplement to help them, because the scriptures are the word of God. And all of the scriptures are the word of God. And the scriptures are all that God has revealed to us about Christianity and Christian life. And next time I'm here on a Sunday night, that's where we're going next. Church history shows a problem at this point arises in the human mind, because people begin to think they need to add something to the Bible. Ideas, traditions. No. And it can happen to anyone. And we can forget that the heart cry of the Reformation is sola scriptura. Scripture alone, scripture only, is the authority in the church. That's the call of the Reformation. The Reformers and the Puritans didn't make up confessions and catechisms and all to be an authority. They're helps for us to learn what the Bible teaches. But the sole authority is Scripture. Sola Scriptura. Scripture alone is the source of authority for the church, for life, for worship and faith. And nothing needs to be added to the Bible. And nothing needs to be taken away. Anyway, I close. The Bible is God's word. Believe it. Believe the Bible. It is the word of God. Do what the Bible says. And don't do what it doesn't say. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. For anyone unsaved on the internet, or even, I don't know your hearts ultimately, the Bible says, believe in Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Repent and believe. You better believe that and do it, or you're not saved. You're lost. I want to close by giving you three quotes from three great men. The first is John Calvin, and I want to quote to you what he says about the inspiration of the Bible. The scripture obtains the same complete credit and authority with believers when they are satisfied of its divine origin as if they heard the very words pronounced by God himself. It is of great consequence that we be established in the belief of God's word. Believers embrace and revere every part of the divine word. Take away the word and there will be no faith left. Every addition to his word is a lie. Next quote's John Owen. That's Reformer, okay. Calvin the Reformer. John Owen, the Independent Congregational. Listen to what he says concerning this verse. The scripture is sufficient in itself to convince men of its own divineness or its being itself the word of God. That being one truth that it does so often assert. The scripture itself is enough. What it says about itself is enough to convince people of what it is, the word of God. And the last, Thomas Manton, the Presbyterian Puritan, here's what he says. A man of God or a minister of the gospel thoroughly furnished hath from the scriptures full out enough to guide man to the enjoyment of God. Nothing is wanting for information as to doctrine, conviction, arguments of quickening and exhortation for the instruction or direction concerning the whole duty of man. Nothing's wanting. Nothing's lacking in the Bible. All that we need is in the inspired word of God. Okay, amen. And thank you for your attention this evening.